Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us. Wow, do we have a situation developing here in Tennessee in the Volunteer State, and I have to tell you about this. It's bizarre. Wow. So at this very moment, there are thousands of people that have converged on the Tennessee State Capitol for a transurrection. Now, this is, I mean, again, if you want to compare it to whatever happened on J6, I suppose you can do that. I'm just using the rules the Democrats have put forward. So using the rules of the Democrats, this would in fact be an insurrection. But because this is an insurrection that supports the elimination of the Second Amendment and in defense of the transgender movement, we on this program are calling it a transurrection. Now, I want to set the stage for you here, and I want to explain why this is important. Because this kind of nonsense is happening and is going to happen at state houses all across America. Just remember, the left now understands the power of the state house. And in Tennessee, we are controlled by a super majority of Republicans. They control everything, and it's great. We live in a state where we do not have an income tax. We live in a state where parents have a big say in what happens to their local public schools. We live in a state where now it is illegal for doctors to make millions of dollars by medically mutilating children. And we also have a new law on the books that does not allow a child to go to a sexually exotic drag show or any other sort of sexually provocative program. And we can debate the merits of that law. Is it an overreach? Probably so, but at least the lawmakers are trying to do something. So a few days ago, there was a horrible shooting in Nashville. You know the story, Covenant Christian School, and six people were killed by a transgender person with a gun, armed to the teeth. We don't know how this person was able to acquire all the firepower. They say she got all the guns legally, but she had no job, and she was living at home with her parents at the age of 28 years old. And thank God for members of the Metro Nashville Police Department who went in there and took out the bad guy, gal, whatever. But now, in the eyes of the Democrats, in the eyes of the White House, who, by the way, will not call what happened a hate crime, in the eyes of the mainstream media, the true victim of that day, Not the teachers, not the custodian who lost their lives, not the children who lost their lives, but the true victim in all of this is the transgender activist who got shot and killed by police. They actually believe that the transgender person is a victim. And so now all of these people are converging on our state capitol in Tennessee, and this is a national news story. Everybody's in Nashville, CNN, MSDNC, Mother Jones, the New York Times, and they're spewing all sorts of false narratives. And I wanted to spend a few moments clearing the air here and explaining what's going on. Because these transgender activists are radical, perverse people, and they are dangerous. And people are terrified of the transgender crowd. I mean, you even have folks within the Log Cabin Republican group. That's the gay and the lesbian conservative movement. And even they have distanced themselves from the transgender crowd. But people are terrified. They don't want to speak out. They don't want to say anything. I mean, everybody is scared. So now you have all of these people at the state capitol, and what they're doing is they're using the shooting as a way to get our guns. And thank God for the Republicans, because they're standing their ground. So why are all these people at the state capitol? Well, let me explain what happened a few days ago. So there is such a thing as decorum. So when you're in the House chamber, whether you're up on Capitol Hill or in Nashville or wherever, you have certain rules and regulations that you're supposed to follow. Well, three Democrats, two black dudes and a white chick, they got up in the well of the House chamber, armed with megaphones, and they tried to incite a riot. The videos of that day, and you can go to our website and see it, it was unbelievable. State troopers were fighting with the crowd, trying to keep them out of the building. They were trying to surge through the doors, all sorts of screaming and nonsense, putting everybody's lives in danger. Several lawmakers, when they were trying to go to the bathroom, were blocked in the bathrooms. The protesters would not let them out. Republicans were spit on. And it was an ugly scene. So at one point, these three lawmakers started inciting a riot. And they disrupted the proceedings of the day. That is a direct flagrant violation of the rules. So what happened? Well, the Republicans said, no, we're not going to play that game. We're not going to play that game. And they have filed a petition to expel those three Democrats. And that's what's being debated at this very moment in Nashville. And what's fascinating is there are even some black Democrats who are outraged over all of this. And they say that these young lawmakers, and they make AOC look like a conservative. They make AOC look like Mitt Romney. These three lawmakers, they say, have brought shame upon the Democrat Party. Now, one of them is based here in Memphis, and this guy, he's all about himself. Got the power fro going, and they've been raising the black power fist the whole nine yards. They're actually busing in children from Memphis schools because they're weaponizing the children. You know how the Islamic radicals used to do it, right? Remember that back in the war where the Islamic radicals would put the innocent women and children in front and then they would cause the mayhem in the back, but then the women and children would bear the brunt of whatever happened? That's what they're doing in Nashville right now. It's really despicable stuff. And I'd like to know, why are these children not in school? Why are they not learning? Instead, they're being used as weapons at the Tennessee State Capitol right now. It's unbelievable. So anyway, apparently one of the local county commissioners got a call, and he said, "Hey, look, most of the people calling are infuriated that these Democrats have embarrassed the city of Memphis." Wow, good for them. I say good for them. But these are pretty horrible people. One of the guys actually compared himself, and I kid you not, this is a direct quote, to the revolutionary brown-skinned Palestinian Jesus. What is that, like South Park Jesus? Is like make-believe Jesus? Is that, I don't get it. So anyway, this is a little bit of what it sounded like inside the chamber. You're going to hear the voice of Cameron Sexton. He's the Speaker of the House. This guy is holding on to the gavel. He's not letting go, and he means business. Cut two.
Mr. Trooper, please clear the balcony. We cannot hear what we're doing.
And it just went on and on and on. And while all that's going on, there was a fist fight broke out among lawmakers on the floor of the House. You know the Republicans won that. I'm just saying. It's just ugly. But folks, this kind of stuff, if it's happening in, of all places, Tennessee, which is a conservative state, by the way, you better believe they're going to be coming after your guns, and they're going to be coming after your kids. The transgender movement is powerful in Nashville. I don't know if you understand the extent of the damage that Hollywood has done. The music industry radicalized, just completely radicalized. So one of these lawmakers, her name is Gloria Johnson, and she's a piece of work, this one. Here's what she had to say, cut number 11.
You know, I feel like North Korea has more democracy than we do in the state of Tennessee.
There's a woman.
And it's terrifying to me that we're in this march to fascism And it seems like the Tennessee supermajority is leading the charge.
A local lawmaker from Knoxville joined with protesters at the state capitol earlier this week asking for stricter gun laws.
Breaking tonight, House resolutions have been filed to expel three Democratic representatives.
Speaker Cameron Sexton says it's necessary.
I believe their actions rises to the level of being expelled.
One of those representatives is Gloria Johnson, who represents District 90 here in Knox County.
Why are they so afraid of an in-depth debate on their legislation on the House floor? Let me tell you why. People want gun sense legislation. This idea that I'm hearing from my colleagues and from the governor, well, we can't make gun laws because criminals don't follow the law. Why are we here? That's what we do. We make laws. Tennessee stands to lose 70,000, the voices of 70,000 Tennesseans that I serve in my district. Between the three of us, me and Representative Pearson and Representative Jones, that's over 200,000. And when my folks sent me here, they knew I was vocal. And they knew I would stand up and I would be their voice. And that's why they sent me here. There's no question about that. Everybody in the state knows that.
All right, there you go. Yeah, that's a woman. No, her name is Gloria Johnson. Anyway, she goes on. This is great. She's telling all the protesters that are showing up today,
now, I want all y'all to pay attention. Y'all got to be quiet if you're going to be up in the gallery, because if you're not quiet, they're going to throw you out.
Well, you know, lady, if you would have followed your own suggestion there, you would not be facing expulsion today. You can't just get up in the floor of the House of Representatives with a megaphone and start trying to incite a riot. You can't do that. It's not right. So anyway, these people, folks, they think they're above the law. And they don't think the Republicans are going to have the moral courage to do the right thing. But I think they are. I think the Republicans are going to do the right thing today. And this is going to reverberate across the nation. Now, they're going to try to tell you this is about race. It's not about race. It's really not. It really is not. As a matter of fact, the two leading Democrats, the top Democrats in the Tennessee House happen to be black from Memphis, and they gave those three the what for because of their behavior. But I have a simple question for these people like Gloria Johnson and Justin Pierce and Justin Jones. I have a question for them. Do they have a problem? Will they have a problem if they're giving a speech and somebody walks up to them and like starts blasting a megaphone in their face? Would they be okay with that? By the way, little David Hogg is here. Little Hogg, little piglet. Yeah, he's here. It is a circus in Nashville today, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, there's going to be a vote. Three Democrats about to get the heave-ho, and I say good for the Republicans on this. Got to start using the power. And you have to start playing by the Democrat Party's rule books, because they would do the exact same thing, period. All right, we got to take a break here, 844-747-8868, and we'll monitor all of this. And we have to pray there's no violence. One Republican lawmaker was punched in the face by one of these so-called peaceful protesters. Now, I don't know what happened in the aftermath. We're working on trying to get the details of that. But if I were that lawmaker, I would have turned around and somebody would be needing a dentist. So what do you think ought to happen here, folks? Should Tennessee kick out the Democrats that are trying to cause an insurrection on state property? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be taking your calls. We have a great lineup. Liz Peek is going to be here from Fox News. Vivek Ramaswamy is going to be here running for president. He has a brand new Wall Street Journal op-ed out, and we're going to be talking with him about that, giving the very latest on the president's indictment. And Tim Barton from Wall Builders is going to drop by as well, talking about the history of Easter. That's going to be a great conversation. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself.
Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right, got a lot of messages over the past day or so about this dude named Dylan Mulvaney. So Dylan Mulvaney is a guy who identifies as a girl and is going through this whole 365 days of womanhood and has become the darling of corporate America. But I want to explain why that is. Why has Mr. Mulvaney, and on this program, we believe God made men and women, right? And so we believe in calling people by their God-given body parts. So it's not Miss Mulvaney on this program. It's Mr. Mulvaney. So anyway, a lot of people are very upset over this. As a matter of fact, Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch, became the latest to endorse Mulvaney. And Travis Tritt announced earlier today that he is not going to be he's not going to be allowing any Anheuser-Busch products to be served on his tour. So if you know anything about the country music stars, whenever they go on tour, they have hospitality suites, hospitality rooms that throw on a bus. They have the hospitality suite. And typically, they provide some sort of liquid refreshment. And in this case, Travis Tritt says, yeah, we're not going to be allowing anyone to drink Anheuser-Busch products. They are not going to be allowed on the tour. So if you believe God made male and female, this Bud is definitely not for you. Tritt wrote on Twitter, I will be deleting all Anheuser-Busch products from my tour hospitality rider. I know many other artists who are doing the same. As a matter of fact, I believe John Rich is joining that call as well. A lot of bars around the country say they will no longer serve Anheuser-Busch products. And Jack Daniels, based here in Tennessee, the whiskey company, says they're going to be embracing the transgender movement. They're going to be partnering with RuPaul's Drag Race. So the question is, what the heck is going on here? Why is it that all of these companies, all these corporations are embracing the transgender movement? And I want to explain this to you because it's really not out of the goodness of their hearts. These companies are basically being blackmailed by the LGBT movement. Groups like the Trevor Project, very well-funded nonprofit groups that are set up to deal with young LGBTQIA plus people. So they have what they call a corporate equality index. So these organizations actually go out there and they will take a look at some of these companies. Let's take Anheuser-Busch, for example, and they will go down their list to determine how gay-friendly Anheuser-Busch really is. And if they're not gay-friendly, well, guess what? Great big bullseye goes on Anheuser-Busch. And it's not just them. It's Pfizer, Coca-Cola, Nike. As a matter of fact, Nike just signed on as a partner to Dylan Mulvaney, and he's now modeling the new women's sports bra. The women's sports bra. The guy does not have boobies. He's a man, man. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because truth, the facts, reality, out the window with these people. By the way, the Human Rights Campaign, these are evil people. I consider the Human Rights Campaign to be a domestic terrorist organization. And they have targeted me. They've targeted me a number of times when I was at Fox News. These are evil people, flat out evil people. And they will target anybody who does not bow down and worship the entire LGBTQIA plus agenda, period. And they're coming after every single corporation and business in America. You will either conform to their thinking on the issues, or they will boycott you and they will try to destroy you. And that's why Anheuser-Busch is endorsing Dylan Mulvaney. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Just when you thought it could not get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that's made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. And for my listeners, an exclusive. The MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes for the buy one, get one free offer and enter the promo code Starnes. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. Does it bother you? I mean, are you one of these people that boycotts the businesses? Does it bother you that all of these companies are endorsing this transgender dude and promoting transgenderism? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So Travis Tritt shared this video. Some guy actually reached out to Bud Light regarding Mulvaney, and I think this is a pretty brilliant thing. Cut number 10, please.
All right, so there's a lot of people talking about the new trans spokesperson for Bud Light beer, Dylan Mulvaney. Apparently, to celebrate Dylan's 365th day as a woman, they've put Dylan's face on the can. Yeah, you know Dylan? The woman? Yeah. Personally, I think it'd be more appropriate to put David's face on some Pennzoil transmission fluid. Get it? What the hell? Hey, Bud Light, my mom's been a woman for 23,725 days, and you didn't put her face on a can. Rosa Parks ain't on a can. Mother Teresa ain't on a can. Joan of Arc ain't on a can. Mother Mary ain't on a can. And she gave birth to Jesus. Anyway, if you're one of the people boycotting Bud Light for partnering with Dylan, I'd like to congratulate you on joining the rest of the world who's been boycotting Bud Light ever since we discovered it's literally the most disgusting tasting beer known to man. But seriously, if you're one of the folks who's mad that the official spokesperson for Bud Light is now a trans person, take a look in the mirror. You're drinking light beer. You're halfway there yourself.
Oh, wow. Is that true? I'm not a beer drinker, so I don't know anything about Bud Light, but there you go. That's great. Now, here's the problem. You know, if we were having this conversation in Canada, just north of our border, do you realize that yours truly would be arrested and thrown in jail? Cut number 6, please.
Firstly, it enables the Attorney General to create a 2S LGBTQI plus community safety zone to prohibit within 100 meters of the property any homophobic, transphobic act of intimidation, threat, offensive threats, offensive remarks, protest, disturbance, and distribution of hate propaganda within the meaning of the criminal code. It also comes with it a penalty of $25,000 if prosecuted successfully.
Well, there you go. In Canada, they are now considering a bill that would make it a crime to misgender someone or to stand in opposition to transgenderism. Now, I know a lot of conservatives out there, and they, from day one, they've been saying, oh, we don't need to be getting involved in this whole transgender business. Just leave those people be. Well, here's the problem, folks. They don't want to be left alone. They want you to conform to their way of thinking. They want you to accept their way of life. They want you to believe that you can be whatever gender you want to be. And they want access to your children. As a matter of fact, there's a story in Oregon right now, and it's a pretty horrible story. A mother was trying to adopt two children, and she was refused. This is a good and decent Christian woman. Her name is Jessica Bates. She's the mother of five. lives in Oregon, and she felt called to adopt a couple of kids because of her faith. But now she's claiming that the Oregon Department of Human Services is refusing to allow her to adopt, and here's the reason why. Buckle up, America. She was barred from adopting children because of her Christian faith about gender and sexuality. Bates is an ultrasound technician. Her husband was killed in a car accident in 2017. It was that year, last year rather, that she applied to adopt a child in Oregon's foster care system. But she was forced to sign an agreement. This is the Oregon State Code. And the Oregon State Code requires foster parents to respect, accept, and support the sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression of an adopted child. And the mom said, well, I can't do that. That's impossible. I cannot do that. Would be a violation of my religious beliefs. She's now filed a lawsuit. And according to the lawsuit, state handout materials provided by the Oregon Resource and Adoptive Family Training Manual instructed would-be adoptive parents to support certain behaviors and identities regardless of their personal beliefs. And one of those is to provide an LGBTQ-affirming environment in the household. Parents, adoptive parents, are also required by the state of Oregon to use LGBTQ-affirming language. And they must attend LGBTQ community events, including pride parades. What are they going to do? Send out some sort of a security guard to make sure that you, Christian person, Christian mom, Christian dad, are taking your child to a pride parade? Parents, adoptive parents, would also be required under Oregon law to facilitate transgender treatment if requested. I mean, this is nuts. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Kathy is on the line from Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. Kathy, what is going on in your state?
Oh, it's just the same old stuff, different day. What I'm thinking about is the future of these youngsters that are having their breasts removed and whatever else removed. I think they're going to find, as they get older, and they're not getting attention anymore, they're going to be very sorry individuals. And I think that's the tragedy. Youngsters do really dumb things. They always have. But to make this a permanent thing is the tragedy. And they're not looking out for their futures. They're just going along. This is their currency, their LGB, whatever. I think it's a tragedy. And the adults are facilitating it.
And the adults, and when you see the adults, Kathy, and you hear them out there advocating for all of this, you understand what's really going on here. It's the adults, though, that are the ones that are screwed up, and they're trying to screw their kids up.
Well, they're guaranteeing a messed up mind as they get older, so...
Well, and the other issue here, Kathy, and they're not talking about this, but they need to be, especially in light of what happened in Nashville. When you've got young girls that are taking testosterone and they're getting these injections and treatments, they really haven't stopped to consider what kind of an impact that's having psychologically. There was one study done that showed increased anger and aggression as notable side effects for transgender patients that are getting these treatments.
Yeah. They're messing with God's handiwork.
Yes, they are. It's freakish behavior on the parts of these doctors, and it's horrifying. And to your point, Kathy, a lot of these kids grow out of this, and then it's too late because they've already had their body parts chopped off and mutilated.
Yep.
All right, Kathy, appreciate that call. Let's go to North Carolina, TJ on the talk station. Hi, TJ. What's on your mind?
How are you, sir? I'm glad to have you back.
Thank you.
I haven't heard from Miss Grace. What, is she okay?
She's fine, yeah.
Okay, well.
All right, what's on your mind, TJ? Yeah, we don't have a lot of time here. Sorry.
Okay, thing I'm called, it's about the Goodyear tires that went ballistic, and now the Budweiser stuff and the Nike stuff, and the Budweiser people, I got a place to go to at the hunt camp. We're supposed to have a bunch of beer and have a good time. Barbecue, good barbecue, best barbecue in Morehead City, North Carolina. And they need to, the Budweiser needs to clean their mess up and go from the Clydesdale to a bunch of donkeys or mules. I don't know if they're going to call it honkies or mules, but I switched. I dump all that mess out of my cooler and got Coors Light because that's Coors Brewing Company that's building that. But glad you're back. I hope Miss Grace is good.
All right. Appreciate the call, TJ. Thank you for that. Yeah, a lot of people around the country are getting rid or just refusing to buy any Budweiser products. And maybe that's the answer here. Maybe, just maybe, that is the answer. We've got to start sending these companies a message. Because, again, the Human Rights Campaign and these radical LGBT organizations, they have tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. And they're targeting every single one of these companies. And they give them, it's basically a social score. And if you don't meet their expectations on supporting the LGBT agenda, well, they target your business. And they come after you. Well, maybe the other side needs to say, hey, you know what? There's more of us, and we're mad about this. Stop trying to cram an agenda down our throats. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. By the way, to put a line on this, the New York Times has a story up, and they're talking about the sharp rise in transgender young people. So all of this is unnatural. This is not happening unless there's been some sort of an evolutionary process that all of us are not aware of. But to give you an example of the study, and this is coming from the CDC. About 0.5% of adults would consider themselves to be transgender. Very, very small number, right? So the same, if you're looking at 13 to 17 year olds, 1.4%, and if you're looking at 18 to 24 year olds, 1.3% identify as transgender. So the whole thing has been fabricated. This tells me that children are being indoctrinated. They're being shoved propaganda, and that's causing a significant issue in our nation right now. So a lot of these kids are not transgender. They're tomboys, and they grow out of it. But they're not even letting the kids do that anymore because now they're teaching kids as young as 4 years old that they're transgender. Unbelievable. All right, let's go to the phone. Steve in Arkansas wants to weigh in on the Tennessee legislature. Hey, Steve, what's up?
Hey, Todd, you seem pretty sure that they are going to expel these Democratic members today. If they go through with that, I want to applaud them for just a handful of Republicans in this country that will actually use their political power to take action and do something versus just sit and talk about it. I think we need to quit spending so much time on the past and big talk and this, that, and the other, and concentrate on actions and things we can actually do to fight back.
Steve, just think about this. Imagine the message that the Republicans in Tennessee could send to the rest of the nation. You know what? We're not gonna be bullied by the racist. We're not gonna let them smear us anymore. We're not going to let them upset the decorum of the House chamber. There are rules. You will abide by the rules. And if you don't, see you later.
I mean, we need to do that every chance we get at every level of the government, whatever. I mean, there's a lot of talk going on right now about indicting some Democrats around the country. But still, you see, and they don't even have to be Democrats, Todd. I've said this before on your program. All this trans stuff we're talking about, all this drag queen stuff we're talking about, if you read the existing child pornography laws in this country, there could be indictments put out for this stuff right now by Republican DAs and stuff, and bring these people. Maybe they won't be found guilty, but you can do the same thing to them that's getting done to Donald Trump right now. They can be indicted for child pornography and brought into court, and I don't have any problem saying what Nancy said. Drag them into court, make them prove they're innocent.
Guilty until proven innocent. That's what Nancy Pelosi said. Steve, I just say we start playing by the rules the Democrats have established. I've got no problem with that. Let's give them a little taste of their medicine. Steve, I don't know if you ever had this encounter when you were a kid, but you got the bully on the playground. And what is the most effective way to deal with a bully? You stand there, your ground. When the bully tries to pick a fight and he punches you, you punch him right between the nose. And guess what happens? Bully runs away.
Yeah.
So we need a political, proverbial punch in the nose to the Democrats. And I said, we don't have to look, I get it. You can't be going out there prosecuting politically, but we need to send at least one message that we're not going to play this game. And I like what Congressman Comer said yesterday. There's already a couple of Republican DAs who are more than willing to go after and indict Hunter Biden and Joe Biden.
Arkansas is a perfect state. I have to believe that custody case that went on with Hunter and his where he was disputing over this child. Now you've got bank records of all this money that went to the Biden family. I guarantee you, Todd, none of that showed up on that financial statement that he had to present to the court here in Arkansas when they were working out what his child support and all that stuff was going to be.
There's plenty of evidence, and if they can't get him on the hookers and cocaine, they can get him on the tax stuff. That's what happened to Al Capone.
Amen.
All right, Steve, appreciate that call. Good hearing from you. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I was watching Tucker Carlson last night, and Jason Whitlock was on. Now, this is interesting. Whitlock is bringing up the issue of secession, and he's not the only one who's been doing this. As a matter of fact, Jason Whitlock says that appears to be the only way that we're going to be able to resolve our differences as a country. He says conservatives need to consider secession or a national divorce from the rest of the United States. He says that transgenderism, by the way, is akin to a satanic philosophy. He was asked about President Trump and what happened with the Manhattan District Attorney, Fat Alvin Bragg. And he cited the Bible to argue God's will is for decent people to come out from among them and separate. Quote, that's where I think we actually are. These guys are so far removed from the truth, so far removed from any values that made this country great, we cannot really have a partnership with them. Whitlock goes on to say, my mind went to secession, that we have to separate. We have to come out from among them. They're so unrighteous. They're so unclean that finding common ground is impossible with people who think men can become women. Now, that's an interesting thought. And again, he goes on to say, this is mutilating kids. He said, hey, originally they told us, hey, we just want two men to be able to get married and there's no slippery slope, right? Remember when they told us that, ladies and gentlemen? Well, that was a lie. He goes on to say, we've seen the slippery slope. Now it's drag queens reading books to kids. Now it's taking kids to drag queen shows. Now it's mutilating kids and infecting them with gender dysphoria and using that as an excuse to cut off their breast or cut off their penis, Jeezaloo. He didn't say that. I did the Jeezaloo part. He says, you can't have peace. You can't have partnership with these people. Is that true? Do you buy into what Jason Whitlock was saying last night on Tucker's show? 844-747-8868. I mean, if it's secession, where do you go? Texas? Tennessee? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I've got to give a good shout out here. A big shout out to the Republicans in the great state of Kansas. And we got a lot of listeners in Kansas, especially in the Wichita area, our great affiliate there, KQAM, great people there. The House of, the Republicans in the State House in Kansas have overturned a veto. They voted to override a veto from Democrat Governor Laura Kelly. And Laura Kelly is pro-transgender, and the bill would have protected girls' sports in the state of Kansas. And so anyway, Republicans, they got together, they joined forces, and they took down the Democrat governor. And the good news is that biological girls are going to be able to play sports in the state of Kansas. So good for you folks, all of you good people. By the way, here's what and this is the legislation. Athletic teams or sports designated for females, women, or girls shall not be open to students of the male sex. And that's what triggered the left. And the bill covers students from kindergarten all the way through college. So I say good for you. By the way, there was a state representative, Susan Ruiz, Democrat, foul-mouthed, vile woman, stood up on the House floor and called Republicans full of excrement. But you didn't use that word. She's very upset. Well, you know what? You can be upset. Good for you, Republicans. And this is what we need to be doing at every state house across the country where Republicans have majorities. Fight, fight, fight. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Good to have with us from Nashville, Tennessee. Great talk radio host, great political pundit, our good friend Steve Gill. Hey, Steve, how's it going today?
Hey, Todd, and I join you in saluting the Republicans in Kansas. Isn't it kind of interesting that you see mediocre male athletes who want to compete as women, but you never see mediocre women athletes deciding they want to try to compete on the men's team?
You know, it's a fair point you raise. But again, it's just one of those weird things. And you look at Leah Thomas, I know Riley Gaines from the University of Kentucky, who is actually from the Nashville area. She's been fighting this good fight to protect biological women in college sports. And of course, she ended up tying with Leah Thomas, and she's the one who didn't get the prize because she happened to be a biological female.
And, you know, they're going to destroy women's sports. I mean, at some point, you know, we couldn't have separate but equal, you know, teams for blacks and whites. Why do we have separate but equal teams for women and men if there is no distinction? If the Democrats can't even define what a woman is, why don't we just have teams? And there'll be a volleyball team, and the best volleyball players will make the team, whether they're men or women. And that would really kind of eradicate the effect of Title IX that forces colleges and high schools to spend a lot of money promoting women's sports, when now you have guys that are going over and competing on the women's sports teams. Why have that distinction? Do away with the distinctions. And unfortunately, that would deprive a lot of women of athletic opportunities because men are going to have more physical attributes in most sports, and you would destroy women's sports. But that really, I think, is what some of these anti-feminist fake women want. They don't care about women, or they wouldn't be doing this stuff. And the advertisers, the ESPNs and others that want to celebrate these fake women are not doing a service to women's sports at all, any more than Nike supporting some guy who's flat-chested to promote sports bras for women and leggings for women. I just don't believe that women are going to see this guy, Dylan, whatever his name is, and think, oh, I want to go buy me some Nike that's going to make me look like that guy, when they can go buy Lululemon and actually look good.
There you go. Steve, I want to talk about what's happening at the state capitol today, and it's just chaos from what I understand. Hundreds of people, if not thousands, gathered there. They're being bussed in from all over the state, basically weaponizing these children, just like the Islamic radicals do, the anti-gun, the transurrection, as you call it.
Well, and weaponizing is the right word. You've actually had some of the supporters of these three transurrectionists who took to the floor of the chamber in the House last week, encouraging people to charge the floor and creating what was a near riot, trying to provoke violence. They're being faced with expulsion from the House today. They've not yet gotten to those proceedings. They've been going through the normal proceedings of the House, dealing with other bills. They should be moving to the expulsion movement here in the next 30 minutes to an hour. And they have packed the House. They've packed folks putting in to Nashville by busing them in to again, as you say, use these children as their focus. Keep in mind that just last week, these three Democrat radical legislators voted against a bill that would have put school resource officers, armed police officers, in private schools like the Covenant School, where the shooting killed three adults, three children. They voted against that bill, and now they're wrapping themselves as they're focused on protecting kids. If they cared about protecting kids, they would have voted for that bill a week ago.
And that's been a big topic of conversation around the country, is how do you protect these children? I mean, when you look at CNN, and I can tell you at Fox News headquarters, there is heavy security. Fox has its own private security team. You have to have an ID badge. You have to go through a specific set of doors. And if your badge doesn't work, you're not able to get into the building. And I suspect the same is true at CNN and a lot of the other networks. And my question is, why are they willing to be protected, but they don't want school kids to be protected?
Well, and how much more protection would it have been if you'd had an armed police officer at Covenant School where the shooting took place? The only thing that took down the shooter, who was this transgender, mentally ill woman, and by the way, the Nashville police are still refusing to release her, quote, manifesto that apparently lays out in detail her anti-Christian bias, her transgender agenda. They're refusing to release this manifesto that would give us the specific details of what was motivating her, because they're trying to cover it up, because they're trying to protect the motive here and make it about guns. This woman didn't use weapons of war, which is the phrase we hear from the Democrats. She was using a 9mm handgun, semi-automatic, one pull of the trigger, one shot, and two weapons that were not AR-15s. They were essentially 9mm Glock style, but with a rifle format. These were not these weapons of war, these automatic weapons that they are sometimes portrayed. And you've got some of the school teachers who were going down and joining the protest screaming that we need background checks before somebody buys a gun. We
what?
Had background checks. Unfortunately, Hunter Biden didn't comply with it. And I don't think this woman that was the shooter at Covenant School complied with it. She's been under mental health care for a doctor for at least the last year and a half. If any of these guns were purchased, she would have lied on her background check form and would have illegally purchased at least some or all of these guns.
It's beyond me, Steve. We have plenty of laws on the books. They just need to enforce the laws that are already there, and they don't want to do it, and then they feign shock and outrage when something like this happens. I mean, this individual had no job, lived at home, and yet was able to go out there and secure an arsenal. That I'd like to know how that happened, and I'd like to know where'd she get the money? How is it that mom and dad had no idea that their you know, mentally ill daughter was accumulating all of this firepower in the home where they all lived?
And should we, I mean, again, the left will go ballistic over this, even this idea. If transgenderism is a mental illness, as it's been defined by medical science for a long time, so you have somebody who's mentally ill, who's being pumped up on drugs to transition them to another sex that is not who they are, why shouldn't that be an absolute ban on purchasing a weapon? If you're a transgender and you're taking these drugs that could cause a psychotic reaction, why should you be allowed to buy a gun? Let's put a complete ban on that. That would have stopped this one.
It's a fair point. It's a fair point. Now, I understand somebody got punched. One of the state lawmakers apparently got punched. What's up with that?
Yeah, the majority leader, William Lambert from Sumner County, was punched by one of the protesters this morning. Now again, it's never too early for the humorist on the conservative and Republican side to point out that, I've wanted to punch William a lot of times myself. But the bottom line is, it is a provocation of violence that these transurrectionists were doing last week. They are doing it again today. They came into the chamber with their Black Power fists held high. There's two Black legislators and one white woman legislator. They came in with their fists held high with a triumphant march into the House. they've been trying to provoke additional reaction from the audience all day today. And this is a spectacle of their choosing. They are not there to be serious legislators. They are there to be provocateurs and to draw attention to themselves, not try to help children or anybody else in Tennessee. And some of their supporters have actually gone online and been tweeting that the protesters should bring guns to the Capitol today. How is that not a call for violence?
That is a great point. And we're going to be paying very close attention to what happens here. Let's hope and pray things remain peaceful there. But it is certainly an ugly day up at the Tennessee State Capitol. Steve, always appreciate your great words.
Thank you, my friend, and good to have you back and healthy.
Good to be back. Steve Gill, everybody, and Steve filled in for me and as a regular fill-in on the program. We have the best of the best filling in for us on this program, and we really appreciate that. By the way, you know, Major League Baseball, when was opening day? Being in the hospital, guys, my days have sort of they gotten all jumbled up. Was it this week or last week? All right, there we go. Dylan's our resident baseball guy. So, Dylan, turn your microphone. I want to talk to you for a second here. You know, the concessions. When you go to the baseball game, it's kind of like when you go to the movie theater. It's not the cost of the ticket that gets you. It's all the concessions.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's too high.
It's insane. So the average cost of a hot dog at a Major League Baseball park, well over $6.
That's just insane.
And it is insane. It's just bonkers. And what I really found interesting, someone posted the sandwich board at the Augusta National. So the Masters kicks off. It starts today. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what time tea time is. But anyway, guess how much an egg salad sandwich, which is like an egg salad sandwich, is sort of like the tradition at the Masters.
Okay.
The most important tournament in all of golf.
Right.
And just speculating, just how much do you think an egg salad sandwich, knowing that it costs $6 to get a hot dog at a regular baseball game?
An egg salad sandwich.
20, 30 bucks?
I would surely hope not. I'm going to guess $7.
$1.50.
Oh, my.
$1.50.
Are these like regular size sandwiches?
Regular size sandwiches.
Wow. The baseball folks need to take some notes here.
So they've got the whole menu here. Pimento cheese sandwich, which is another big. I'm an okay pimento cheese, but I'd rather go with the egg salad. Pimento cheese sandwich, $1.50. You want a barbecue pork sandwich? $3.
Oh my goodness.
$3.
I'm going to be a golf fan.
Right. So get this: beverages, beer now, domestic beer, $5. White wine, $6.
It's not bad at all.
If you want some iced tea, and it's fresh brewed iced tea, $2. What the heck?
I'm shaking my head over here, Todd.
The entire, ridiculous. Dylan, the entire menu, you could buy the entire menu for $66 at the Masters.
Wow, what is going on over there in MLB? I mean, I know that you usually have to eat before you go, but like at the Masters, you can go. Haven't eaten for days, and you can be fine.
And I will say this, because I've been to a lot of ballparks around the country. The food is okay, but a hot dog is a hot dog.
Yeah, unless you're in Chicago, probably I would agree.
But when you go to the Masters, and I've been, I will tell you, this is some pretty darn good food.
Wow.
For $1.50 for an egg salad sandwich.
Insane.
Inflation proof. Mm. God bless you, the good people of the Masters. So, if you're wanting to get, someone said they're the Costco hot dog of sports. It's true. By the way, I finally had a Costco hot dog. It was pretty good.
And their pizza's good too.
You know what's really good about it? It doesn't cost that much.
Yeah.
I think that's the price is tastier than the actual food itself.
Well, it's sort of like a Chick-fil-A thing. It doesn't cost that much and it tastes really good.
Fair enough. All right, there you go. And if anybody's going to the Masters, give us a call. I will say this. Had a great time. I was there when Tiger Woods made his return to golf. Fox sent me down to cover it. Had a blast. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. I'm really fascinated here by this story about the Masters. So they say they're pretty intentional. They say they want to keep the food prices super low and they want people to have a good time. They want to give people a good sandwich. By the way, if you want the egg salad or the pimento cheese sandwich recipes, you're not going to be able to get it. They keep that super secret over there. Egg salad, $1.50 if you're going to go to the Masters. You want a chicken biscuit? No problem. It's $1.50. What about a delicious moon pie? $1. You cannot get a moon pie for $1 anywhere. And Georgia pecan caramel popcorn, $1.50. So, Dylan, I was over at Thrillist is the website, Thrillist.com. They actually rank all the major league ballparks regarding food. And the Atlanta Braves actually hit the top 10 because they have a Waffle House at the ballpark.
Oh, my. I did not know about this.
I wonder if they have fights, right?
I'm assuming they would. It's a Waffle House.
Got to. Yeah, they actually have. I had no idea they had a Waffle House in the new ballpark. Fascinating. And number 9, Baltimore Orioles for their crab cake sandwich.
Mm.
May I just say, shame on the New York Yankees, which is one of the most storied ball leagues or ballparks in America.
Mm-hmm.
They're serving sushi. Why would they do that?
What are you doing over there?
Nathan hot dogs. That's all you need. And some popcorn. Maybe some Cracker Jacks. Cleveland Guardians grilled cheese sandwich. Okay.
Yeah.
The I've been to the Met Stadium, and they're actually listed here. They've got, I'm scrolling down here, the top three, New York Mets, the Fuku chicken sandwich, which is very good.
That sounds good.
Minnesota Twins, they're serving hot Indian food. Yeah, going to take a pass.
Not at a baseball game.
And the Seattle Mariners, of all, believe it or not, Seattle Mariners ranked number one, the best ballpark for food in America.
Interesting. I wonder what it is.
They say almost everything. When the best item, almost everything.
Interesting.
Yeah, they have
seafood.
I'm sure
it costs more than any other place.
Lobster rolls. Did I get that right, all you people in Maine? Lobster?
Lobster.
But they do sushi as well. Interesting.
Why don't more places have chicken tenders, Todd?
It's a good point. Let's go to Jaron in Florida, listening to us on Rumble, watching us on Rumble. All right, what you got? I understand you've got some intel on the Marlins.
Well, yeah, I'm a Miami guy. It's interesting. I've been to Seattle. I'll say the garlic fries. You can smell them in the stadium. The whole stadium smells like garlic. They are delicious. But, yeah, I'm wondering where Miami ranked on the list there. They have decent food. Buffalo chicken tacos are quite good. The prices are a little bit outrageous. The food, not so much. The thing that really got me was that they charge $10 for a single glass of piss.
Okay. Yeah, I think we got ourselves one of the prank callers here. That's unfortunate. You know, Jaron, you seem like a nice guy, but you had to go there? I mean, really, that's kind of sad. I mean, if that's what you drink, that's what you drink, my friend, but that sounds very unhealthy. By the way, the Marlins are not on the list very high. Not very high at all. All right, got to take a break. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Jeez aloo. Chicago, the Windy City. Now, the voters there, they said, well, we're sick and tired of all this crime. Our poor city's turned into a war zone. We need change. So they had a choice. They could either go with a progressive Democrat who wanted to literally open up all the jails and let the criminals run free, or they could have voted for a tough-on-crime Democrat. And what did the good people of Chicago do? They voted for the progressive. So there you go. But this guy, his name's Brandon Johnson. Good Christian man, apparently. So when he won the mayor's race, he was giving credit to God in his acceptance remarks. And the people over at the Chicago Tribune on the editorial board blew a gasket, got triggered. It wasn't pretty. And they actually blasted the mayor-elect for mentioning God, but not Barack Hussein Obama. No, I am not kidding. They said that Johnson should have given credit to Barack Obama, the first black president whose adopted hometown, happens to be Chicago. Now, I'm not terribly surprised by this because, you know, many Democrats actually have deified President Obama. They actually called Obama Chicago Jesus. And I'll never forget, on the night he was elected, I was there. I was embedded with the campaign. We were on the shores of Lake Michigan in that big park where they've got that big funky-looking bean thing going on, that sculpture. And one of my producers back at Fox, she was a raging leftist, loved Obama. And she actually asked me during a live, I was broadcasting live, and in my ear, my producer was saying, Todd, can you confirm reports that there's an earthquake in Chicago right now, that people are just so joyful that they're literally jumping up and down and causing an earthquake? I thought, what in the world is going on at Fox? So anyway, there you go. Our good friend Liz Peek has a great column out talking about this disastrous Chicago election and also Trump indictment's biggest winner. Lots to talk about. Liz Peek on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Hey, Liz, how are you today?
Good afternoon. I'm terrific, although I have to say this Chicago election cast me into despair. It honestly just so bummed me out that the voters of Chicago went with a guy, as you have said, that basically promised to do pretty much what Lori Lightfoot, his predecessor, was doing, which failed utterly. What is his position on? He used to be a defund the police guy, and he kind of changed that for the election because crime was the number one issue in Chicago. What's his proposal? To put a lot of social workers out there. Has he met gang members? Does he seriously think that those people are going to be cowed by or nurtured by or dissuaded by people with social work credentials? I mean, honestly, it just was staggering to me. But I'll tell you what, Todd, I come away from this thinking Republicans have got to get serious about educating the people about the teachers' unions, because what this guy had to offer, his only real credential, was he was an activist for the teachers' unions. And when people look at the stats, and I think it's 25 Chicago schools where not a single student is at grade level, people need to get angry about this, and they need to focus their anger not on the teachers, but the teachers' unions, who create a work environment, work rules, and a sort of predisposition to fail in these schools. I mean, it's appalling to me. And I am totally unhappy for Chicago, because it's a failing city like New York, like San Francisco, like Los Angeles, and there appears to be no will to turn that around.
Liz, I'm looking at what happened in Chicago and this Wisconsin Supreme Court vote. It's just mind-boggling, and I'm not sure the Republicans are taking all of this seriously. And I know they want to try to blame Trump for what happened in Wisconsin, but this is not on Trump. This is, when you look at the amount of money that the Democrats spent compared to the Republicans in Wisconsin, what in the world is going on right now with the Republican Party?
Well, and there was a long piece in the New York Times about the race in Wisconsin, which I thought was illustrative. And one of the things that they claim helped the progressive who won that judgeship, because it came down to politics for sure, was the early voting, which had gone on for a long time, and Republicans are still nowhere in terms of getting the vote out early. And you know, we have to get serious about this. I mean, I am not a fan of Ronna McDaniel. I think she's done a poor job of adapting the party to the current day and to kind of the measures that were adopted during COVID to get around COVID infection problems and so forth. But those things are here to stay. And if Republicans don't learn how to turn out early voters, we're going to lose race after race. And I do believe that was part of the problem.
Well, and you're absolutely right about that. And again, I don't think this is a major part of it, but I think there is something that needs to be said about the Republican Party's effort to get out the youth vote. And it looks as though the Democrats have been successful in those efforts to attract Gen Z and millennial voters. And I think the Republican Party, by and large, has abdicated that responsibility to some of these other organizations out there. But as we saw in Arizona, it was completely ineffective. So, yeah, the kids are going to the big flashy, splashy meetings and conventions, but that's not generating results at the ballot box. And I'm wondering what the Republican Party is doing to actually raise up that next generation of Republican voters.
Well, and I have to tell you, Todd, I'm also concerned that the Republicans position on abortion and the fact that in some states they've taken such, as you know, this was a big issue in Wisconsin. There was a law passed in the 1800s that was, of course, subsumed by or replaced by Roe v. Wade. But when Roe v. Wade went away, came back into being, which basically banned almost all abortions. And, you know, you and I will disagree about this, but I think Republicans have got to, in states like Wisconsin, people who are moderate on the topic of abortion, who agree with the general majority of the country and feel that there should be room for abortion in incest cases and if the mother's life is in danger, et cetera, I think those people need to speak up because we have lost, I think, a lot of ground with young voters, particularly on this issue and particularly with women. That's not going away. And race after race. I mean, I was also struck by the fact in this New York Times article about Chicago, and I hardly ever quote the New York Times, admittedly, but they talked about voters being repelled by the fact that Paul Vallas, who really had a CV that Chicago needed, a person who had turned around public school systems, et cetera, he had once in 2009, so this is like more than 10 years ago, described himself as almost a Republican. That was so offensive to people that they couldn't vote for him, even though they felt his policies and his approach to crime and schools were better. Well, what is it about the Republican brand that is so toxic right now? Many things, undoubtedly. But I do think abortion is something that comes up over and over again. I don't know a single young woman who is on board with 100% banning of abortion. So, you know, I think we have to do some navel-gazing here and think about, is this really the issue that is going to cost us election after election, and is anyone going to, you know, decide that that's really not appropriate?
So, and here's where, and you're right, you and I can disagree on this issue, but I do think there is a messaging problem here. I took great issue with Kansas and the Kansas pro-life community. They played hardball, and they told Republicans, you will advance this legislation. Republicans, even the most diehard pro-lifers, were saying, this is not the time or the place for this yet. You've got to play smart politics. And they said, if you don't do what we say, we're going to campaign against you. And so the Republicans, they did what they were instructed to do, and they were defeated. And I think that set the ground for what we're looking at now, Liz. And it concerns me because we're not doing a good job in messaging. We're allowing the other side to set the agenda, and we're not fighting back. And I place that blame on the RNC. They've got a responsibility to get everybody in lockstep on this kind of stuff. Otherwise we're going to lose every race if they're not careful.
I think that's right. And you know, I think that as I'm a Republican, but I do not think, I mean, I believe in freedom, and we talk a lot about liberty and freedom and individual choice, and yet we are willing to go to such extremes. And by the way, on abortion and deny people total choice, when you talk about the Democrat position on abortion, it's abhorrent. We should be winning this discussion.
That's right.
Because nobody believes in 9-month terminating a baby, and that it's a baby at 9 months. It's a baby. And yes, I know people think it's a baby at 1 week, but there is a difference. And most of the developed world has come around to saying, you know, this is acceptable within limits. And I think this worries me, Todd, because I think we're going to, as you say, keep on losing elections unless we figure out a better program here.
All right, Liz, let's talk about the aftermath of this indictment of the president. What a mess that is. But you say that there is a big winner in all of this, and I'm curious who that is.
Well, the winner is clearly Joe Biden, because this is a presidency that is failing on almost every front that you can identify, whether it's foreign policy. There have been numerous foreign policy disasters. I mean, consider that the Chinese are brokering a detente between Iran and Saudi Arabia. Everything about that statement is completely crazy-making, and it should never have happened. But every instinct Joe Biden has on foreign policy is wrong. Elsewhere, what's going on? We've had bank failures. We've had secret documents problems with Biden, and yes, with Trump, but Biden's are just as bad, if not worse, because they've basically been covered up. Mark Warner, to his credit, a Senate Democrats, you know, he's saying, hey, we need information from the White House. This does not pass the smell test. We want to know what's in those documents. Biden has a lot of problems right now, which is why he continually has been postponing the launch of his second campaign. It's really quite stunning. In the last several days, it has been talked about that he might not enter the race until the fall. Well, Todd, if something happened to Joe Biden and he didn't want to run again, that leaves other Democrats completely out in the cold. So I think it is absolutely the case that Joe Biden is, actually the New York Times even ran a headline about the White House is quite happy that they're out of the picture right now because things aren't going well for them. And right now, you know, we'll see what tomorrow's jobs number looks like. I heard the White House is gearing up to have a sort of celebratory moment about the jobs figure. That almost guarantees it's going to be a lousy one. And, you know, I think we're on the cusp of a recession. So things are not good in Biden land. They're very happy to have Trump suck up all the oxygen in the room, have all the attention on Trump. And, you know, what I think, and I really think this is true, basically, the Democrats are going to run Biden again, if he does run again. And instead of hiding in his basement, he will hide behind this dark storm cloud that hovers over Donald Trump. If Trump is making headlines because of legal things every week, Biden can, you know, basically people won't be paying attention to what a train wreck of a government Joe Biden is overseeing. So, I mean, honestly, he could sneak back in for a second term because voters will not be focused on the right things.
It is shaping up. And again, there are just concerns I have, and I'm still hopeful that we're going to be able to fix all of this. But with the RNC in shambles and all of this happening, and it looks like this trial is going to be dragged out at least, till December, maybe the trial in the spring.
And this is just one of many.
So this is setting, we're setting ourselves up here, and people need to pay attention to how all of this is playing out. But I'm with you. We have got to get a handle on the messaging, and we've got to, if you're going to tackle this abortion issue, we've got to address the issue of what the Democrats are wanting in this country. And we have to be very clear and direct about that. We cannot shy away. Otherwise, we're gonna face a bloodbath at the polls.
I couldn't agree more. And by the way, there is no possible way we should be losing this. Well, we shouldn't have lost the midterms. We should not lose in 2024. And I got to tell you, I do feel, and I know people say this all the time, I don't think I've ever said it, I do think this is the most consequential election of my lifetime. Things are going so profoundly in the wrong direction on energy, on the economy, on labor rules, everything else. This administration is doing our country serious damage, and especially in our foreign relations. We need to get them out of there.
All right, Liz, we got to leave it there. Late for a break. Always good hearing from you.
Thank you so much for having me on, Todd. Take care.
All right, Liz Peek, everybody. And again, yeah, we're on different sides of the abortion issue. But the reality is, if you were going to demand a complete and total 100% ban on all abortions, and that includes in the event that the mother's life is in danger, you're going to have to get out the vote. And if you don't, you're going to lose. Now, my question is, is that the moral high ground to lose every single election on this issue, or is there a way the Republicans can stand their ground on the pro-life issue and win the day? Because right now there's no messaging. We're allowing the Democrats to set the messaging here, and the Republicans have had their butts handed to them. And you better believe me when I tell you, one of the reasons why we failed in the midterms is on the abortion issue. We completely botched the messaging. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, let's get to the phone lines here. Edward in North Carolina. Hi, Edward. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. How you doing, buddy?
I'm well, thank you.
I've been, good. I just like the friendly reminder here. You know, Trump obviously is the overwhelming favorite to win the Republican primary, but when you put him against DeSantis, against the Democrats, or against Biden, Trump loses, DeSantis wins. I think DeSantis has to be our choice, but I think DeSantis also needs to be careful that he doesn't alienate, start calling names like Trump does. He doesn't want to alienate Trump's base. If he woos them, and there's a chance. But I also feel like our country, we see Donald Trump with all these, obviously, all these people at his rallies. But this country is overwhelmingly liberal and progressive, I believe. I don't think we ever have a chance of winning another presidential election. But if we're going to, it's going to be DeSantis.
Well, it's a problem because most of the kids in America are growing up and attending public schools. And so these kids have been radicalized. And so the question is, how do we unradicalize them? How do we attract these young people to conservative ideas? And that's the effort that we ought to be advancing on. But
I don't think our country, I don't think our culture wants conservative ideas. I think we've turned that corner. I think this country now is progressive and liberal, but a majority of the people. I don't think you can convince those kind of people that they don't want to be conservative. They don't want to be Republican. They know that they want this progressive culture that we're finding ourselves. I think it's only going to get worse.
All right. Well, Edward, we're going to leave it there. Coming up, okay. And yeah, appreciate you calling in, and thank you for listening. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hope you're doing good today. A lot happening around the nation. By the way, the Tennessee General Assembly, you know, people over at Fox News, they actually monitor, they have someone assigned over at Fox to actually listen to this radio program. And in the first hour, we told you about the chaos happening at the Tennessee State Capitol. Now that is the lead story over at FoxNews.com as Republicans prepare to oust three Democrats who tried to incite a riot on at the State Capitol inside the House chamber. Insane. Well, keep you updated on that story. They're literally marching into the chamber with the Black Power fist raised. So there you go. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. Want to go right to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. This guy's been making a lot of headlines, and I got to see him from a distance at CPAC as we were broadcasting there. He is an announced presidential candidate for 2024. Has a Wall Street Journal op-ed called "The President Can Pardon President Trump." Vivek Ramaswamy joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. What an honor to have you with us, sir.
Good to be on. How are you?
Doing well. And I'm very curious to ask you this question. Why do you want to be President of the United States?
Well, I think it's less about my career and more about the national identity crisis that we're in. You guess most people my age, I'm 37 years old, what does it mean to be an American? You get a blank stare in response, and I think that is a problem in our country. Faith, patriotism, and hard work are gone. I would say that now as a father of two children, I worry that what's taken their place is wokeness, gender ideology, the climate cult, and I think that we're going to lose that shared American identity that binds us together as Americans. I'm an unapologetic America First conservative, but to put America first, we live in a moment where we need to rediscover what America is. And I am running to take that America First agenda further than anyone, including Donald Trump, was able to take it. But I'll also do it in a way that unifies the country, because I'm doing it based on first principles and moral authority, not just vengeance and grievance. And I give a lot of credit to Trump for doing what he did. respect him, voted for him. But I think that we need to take that now to the next level even further by taking on policies that professional politicians are unwilling to touch. And that's the heart of my campaign.
And Vivek, you've got an amazing, amazing biography, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But you do understand that, let's just say you get the nomination. You know, they're going to do to you exactly what they're doing to Donald Trump. This is really not about Trump. This is about Republicans, and they want to destroy anyone who is a Republican, and especially a conservative.
Absolutely. Conservative is actually the operative word, because there's some Republicans who don't behave with a spine who they're fine to tolerate. But I think if you're in the America First movement and want to put this country first unapologetically, you have a target on your back today. And I think that that's actually a dangerous state of affairs. So look, here's what I think. I want to learn from President Trump's experiences and build on them to go further. I think you only get to be an outsider once. I have fresh legs now, kind of like Trump did in 2015 and 2016, which I respect immensely. But now we need to take this further. And I think one of the things that I intend to do is, like Reagan did in the 1980s, if you're grounded in your own moral convictions, in your own first principles, yes, we can preach about family values and faith in God all we want, but if we're living that in our own lives, I think that actually empowers a leader to go even further with an agenda, taking on issues that even Trump wasn't able to take on. I mean, I've pledged, for example, to end race-based affirmative action in America by executive order, because it was created by an executive order. Every U.S. president since Lyndon Johnson could have done it. They didn't want to because of the fear of the political consequence. I want to abandon this climate cult that shackles the United States, actually declare independence from communist China, actually use our military to secure our border, not just build a wall. This has taken the America First agenda to the next level. But I think that if you're on solid moral footing, doing it based on principles, American principles, that go even beyond the Republican Party, beyond just one man, I think that'll allow us to go even further and to really build on the foundation, yes, that Trump laid, but to go even further. And the sad part is, the fact that we haven't solved that problem is why Trump is being persecuted by an administrative police state today that shouldn't exist. But unfortunately, it does. And we need to dismantle it by being willing to shut down government agencies like the FBI and the administrative police state that's gotten so rotten and corrupt. It is sad to watch that administrative state now go after Trump himself, but also countless other Americans like Douglas Mackey and others. I've said I would pardon them. But more importantly, I think we can do it as part of a foundation that shuts that corruption down and actually goes the distance with moral authority.
You say you were inspired by President Trump's 2016 presidential run. Just curious, who did you vote for in 2016 and 2020?
2020, I voted for Trump. I'll tell you, in 2016, I didn't vote. And the reason is I wasn't even involved in civic participation. I was building a biotech company. I was 29 years old at the time and just started my biotech company, building it from scratch. I didn't even pay attention to politics. I was a science guy, right? And it ended up being a multi-billion-dollar company. I was just in a different phase of my life. And I think that it was what I encountered in corporate America, actually, that in 2019 awoke me to politics. I ended up having demands on my desk to make statements in favor of Black Lives Matter after the George Floyd death. That was really when I first took an interest in these, you know, in modern culture and politics, because it landed on my doorstep. And that led me on a journey I've been on for the last 3 to 4 years now, to actually figure out what the heck's going wrong in America.
And so I want to go back to 2021, because that's when you actually wrote a book, and I've written eight of these things. So my hat is off to anybody who's able to write a book, because it's hard work. You wrote a book called Woke Inc., Inside Corporate America's Social Justice Scam. You know, it's interesting. We're seeing this play out right now with Dylan Mulvaney and all of these companies that are jumping in and endorsing and doing all this kind of stuff. I think Budweiser. But people don't understand that the human rights campaign, a lot of these leftist organizations out there actually have these social scores, and they target businesses that do not bow down to this sort of agenda.
Exactly. That's exactly how it works. And so I had the unfortunate firsthand reality of being able to see that as the elite CEO of a multi-billion-dollar company living in the venture-backed world. So I understand how this game is played. I wrote a book called Woke Inc. It was actually the first book before even wokeness was a topic of discussion on the right. You know, my book is actually one of the things that opened that up. And, you know, the sad part of the story is these companies pretend to care about these causes other than making a profit. They pretend to care about something other than profit and power. precisely to gain more of each. And I think it is sad what we're seeing now with the trans movement in America. We saw it with the racial wokeism a few years ago. Now we're seeing it with this trans movement. This is a mental health epidemic in our country. Let's recognize that gender dysphoria is a mental health disorder. I know you're not supposed to say that in public, but that is the truth of the matter. And now these corporations are using that to deflect accountability from the left, from other issues they'd rather not be talking about. If you're Nike, the slave labor in your supply chain. If you're Budweiser, other things they don't want you to be talking about the company. This is how they signal their virtue. And the problem with virtue signaling is that at some point, the appearance of virtue becomes even more important than being virtuous itself. And I just think that this trans epidemic is just the latest symptom of that cultural cancer in America, where young people, really all Americans, are so hungry for a cause, for purpose and meaning and identity, that they latch on to these skin-deep social fads without actually filling that hunger with the things that we really need in our lives: the revival of faith, patriotism, belief in a national identity, hard work, family. Those are the things that actually fill our human need for purpose. And instead, we're filling it now with transgenderism, wokeism, and this climate cult. That's where we are as a country, but I'm running to fix it.
So born and raised in Cincinnati, your parents immigrated here from India. I understand the Jesuits gave you your education there in Ohio, and valedictorian. You played tennis. Very good tennis player, from what I understand. So I guess if you get elected, you're going to put in a tennis court there on the White House grounds.
Yeah, we'll have to think about that. It hasn't been on my top priority, domestic policy priority yet.
You got to take a break every now and again, though.
Yeah. My tennis game has dropped since the presidential campaign began, but that's my own choice.
So how is that going? I mean, you've never done this before. I was looking at the political resume. It's a little light, and I get it. Trump never ran, but he had a lot of experience under his belt. How are you doing out there on the campaign trail?
Well, my political resume isn't light. It's non-existent, because I've been staying steered clear of politics.
I was trying to be polite, Vivek.
Now I'm a political outsider, right? And so, look, I have built multi-billion-dollar businesses from scratch, several of them. I have led companies as CEO. I've overseen the development of medicine. One's a life-saving therapy for kids. Another one's a drug for prostate cancer. I personally worked on these. I built I'm just going to say it, sizable, successful, multi-billion-dollar company. I'm 37 years old, and I've been educated as a scientist, as a lawyer. I've done a lot of things. I've succeeded at most of the things I've done, but this isn't about me. This is about, I've built my entire career on taking on bureaucracy. I took on the bureaucracy of Big Pharma. I took on the bureaucracy of the woke industrial complex by writing that book, Woke Inc. I took on the bureaucracy of the likes of BlackRock in the ESG movement by starting my most recent company, Strive, that is directly competing against these ESG promoting behemoths like BlackRock and Vanguard. That was successful as well in the first year after I got it off the ground. But now I want to take on the bureaucracy of the federal government itself, where a lot of these cultural problems originate. And I do think it takes an outsider to do it. I think the GOP has to be the party of nominating and putting an outsider, a true non-professional politician, not a career politician, in the White House. We did that in 2015 and 2016 with Trump. That needs to become the tradition. I'm the outsider in this race this time around, and I intend to take that same America First agenda even further than anyone, any professional politician, and even Donald Trump ever did.
When was your first vote for president? When was the first vote you cast for president? Was that 2016 or 2020?
It was 2020.
All right. So, and how long have you been a Republican?
I've been a conservative for a long time. I don't think of myself as a partisan, but culturally speaking, I've been a cultural conservative probably since I was in high school. That was actually the product of my Catholic upbringing, Catholic education during my upbringing. We're a religious household. My parents are immigrants. They came from India. I was raised in a Hindu household, which is where I practice today, but also was raised in Catholic schools. And, picked up, I would say, that cultural conservatism dating back to high school. But I wasn't politically active in any way. I studied science. I was a nerdy guy in the lab for most of college, very academically focused, got into the world of biotech after I graduated. So that was my world. But my mission to really enter, you could call it the culture war, began when it really just got under my skin to say, I've built a successful company. I'm developing potentially life-saving medicine for people who need them. That should unify people. And yet, if there's a Black Lives Matter protest now, as a CEO, I'm supposed to say something about it. I refused to, and actually several advisors to my company then resigned on the back of that. And to me, that was my wake-up call to say that, look, if I couldn't speak freely and I was in the successful position that I was, then imagine what it was like for the rest of the country. And that's what sent me on this crusade over the last several years. So this is new for me.
Well, Vivek, we're going to get you back on. A lot of questions, and I like what you have to say, and I wish you the very best out there on the campaign trail, and God bless America.
Thank you. God bless our country. I appreciate that.
There you go, folks. Vivek Ramaswamy, you can actually, we've got a direct link to his website on the live show blog, vivek2024.com, and you'll be able to get more information. So the guy back in 2016, his estimated net worth, $600 million. He and his wife is a professor at Ohio State University, the medical center there. And they have two sons. And as you heard, he was educated by the Jesuits, but he and his family are Hindu. So I'm curious, what do you think about this guy? Never did vote until 2020. That's it. He cast his vote for Donald Trump. I don't think anybody's actually asked him those questions before, but I'm kind of curious. So what do you think about Vivek Ramaswamy? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, so the White House has released its review of the withdrawal from Afghanistan, completely botched by Joe Biden, and the entire document literally blames Donald Trump. They are blaming Donald Trump for what happened in Afghanistan. What a load of crapola this is, ladies and gentlemen, and it's not even grade A crapola. The fact of the matter is, the blood of those 13 American service members, that blood is on the hands of Joe Biden, not Donald Trump, Joe Biden. It was Joe Biden who did all of this. Never forget it. Anyway, developing story, that news just breaking out of Washington. Let's go to the phones here. And again, folks wanting to weigh in on Vivek Ramaswamy, who is running as a Republican. The first time he ever voted in his life was for Donald Trump in 2020. That's what he told us a few moments ago. And he wants to declare war on wokeness in America. Yet, what did you got to hear from the guy? Do you have questions? 844-747-8868. Let's go to New Orleans. Our good friend, the queen of the Big Easy, Miss Janice. Hey, Miss Janice, what's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Todd?
I'm good, thank you.
How you been?
I'm good, thank you.
That's good. No, in the primary, I think I'll vote for Trump. But I do have to say that the more I listen to this Vivek Ramaswamy guy, he is kind of interesting, you know?
He has a fascinating story, and again, I'm always sort of, I wouldn't say suspicious, but I'm curious about someone who has not been involved in the political process. I want to kind of get a feel for them and where they're coming from. There's not a lot on that out there just yet, but I suspect when folks start digging in and they start taking him seriously as a candidate, we're going to find out more information and sort of fill in the blanks. But I like what I've heard so far.
So do I. But like I said, I think in the primary, I'm going to have to push that button for Trump.
Trump's still your guy, Miss Janice.
Yeah.
By the way, are you guys dealing with some pretty severe crime in New Orleans like a lot of the other major cities?
Absolutely. Oh, yes, we are. We certainly are. And they're trying to say, oh, that it's down a bit. But no, ask the people whose cars have been stolen and people that have been carjacked and such. Now, there's a lot of crime here in this city. There really is, and it just doesn't make me comfortable.
Mm. All right. Well, you be safe out there, Miss Janice. Always good hearing from you, and glad to know Trump still has your vote. All right. Thank you for listening to us. I haven't heard from Miss Janice in a while. Always good to hear from her, our good friend. You know, they're almost, I think, sisters. They're really not related, but they ought to be. Miss Carlotta out of Rhode Island. We haven't heard from her in a while. one of our regulars back in the day, Miss Carlotta and Miss Janice from New Orleans. Speaking of that, and we'll get into more of this a little bit later on, some poor guy in Memphis, he's 70-something years old, and the poor guy was attacked right outside of his house, 72 years old. A bunch of dudes in black hoods and masks followed the guy. They didn't realize, though, that the 72-year-old man's son was sitting in the garage, and he had a pistol, and he started firing. We'll tell you more about that a little bit later on. All right, got to take a break here, folks. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Program. State Senator Phil King out of Texas has introduced a new bill that would mandate the Ten Commandments be displayed in every public school classroom in the Lone Star State. How do you feel about that, ladies and gentlemen? You think that's a good idea to post a monument, a poster, reminding children of the Ten Commandments in their public school classroom? 844-747-8868. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Tim Barton joins us. He is the president of Wall Builders. We're big fans of that group, wallbuilders.com. Tim, good to have you with us today.
Well, Todd, good to be with you. Thanks for having me back.
All right, let's talk about this. It seems like a pretty noble effort here, displaying the Ten Commandments in public school classrooms.
I think it's a great idea for several reasons. But one of the arguments we've heard from leftists, especially since the Nashville shooting, is, all right, we need to regulate guns. And obviously the argument is we want to stop violent crime. But there's a level of irony when you criminalize someone for killing people, right? In many states, there's a death penalty if you go around murdering people. And yet we are saying that we should not present the idea to students in their classrooms, things like thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder. It seems illogical. It's intellectually dishonest to presume that we want a certain behavior from them that we're not guiding them with. The Ten Commandments has been the basis of all morals for the Western civilization, for the Western world, really since the inception of the Western world. And so to me, it seems very logical. There's a lot of good historic and legal precedent for this as well, but certainly from a common sense perspective, this just makes sense to go back to telling kids basic notions of morality, like don't kill other people.
I think it's a pretty great idea. And when you go back in history, which is what you guys do there at Wall Builders, there is plenty of evidence that American public school classrooms were not only pro Ten Commandments, but also pro God, pro Bible, pro prayer over the decades and generations.
Absolutely right. In fact, if people want to go back to the very first textbook printed in English in America, it was called the New England Primer. And in the back of the New England Primer, and this was the first textbook used in public schools education in America that was printed in America. And so essentially, this is the first grade textbook. This is where everything started. And in the back of that New England Primer, there was questions on faith and theology that they wanted students to know to learn these things. Well, there are 43 questions in the back of this New England Primer on the Ten Commandments. And I don't even know how you're going to come up with 43 questions on the Ten Commandments, but when you start reading them, it actually makes sense. What is the first commandment? What's required in the first commandment? What's forbidden in the first commandment? But they wanted students to know this. This was part of the foundation of education. If you go forward to McGuffey's Readers, where more students utilize, I think 100 million of McGuffey's Readers sold in the 19th and 20th century. I mean, more students have used these than virtually any other textbook. When McGuffey's Readers, he had the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments have always been a part of education, and it wasn't until 1980 when an activist Supreme Court determined that, you know, that's probably been enough of the Ten Commandments in classrooms. Let's not do that anymore. 1980 is when activist judges said no more. Well, fortunately, because of the Supreme Court last summer overturning some of the bad precedent, we are at a place where we once again can restore some of the basic moral values we used to teach kids, which includes once again posting copies of the Ten Commandments.
And again, going back in just recent history, I remember as a kid growing up, the Gideons would would show up at our school, these Christian businessmen, and they would give the children a Bible. Can't do that anymore. In a lot of schools, you can't pray anymore. A lot of schools, they won't let you post the Ten Commandments. And yet the drag queens are welcome in with open arms. God is not welcome, but the drag queens are.
It is a very sad position we find ourselves in. But this is also, it's no surprise then that we're seeing the breakdown of morals in society. We're seeing more violence and we're seeing more crime activity in all these cities that are having issues. When we are saying not only that there is no God, which for the founding fathers, their very premise of the Declaration, when they said we owe these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they're endowed by their creator with certain rights. We always knew in America there was a God, and God has given us rights. God has given us standards, and certainly the most basic of those standards were the Ten Commandments. And the idea that, Todd, as you mentioned, that we are now in a place that we're telling kids that there is no God, you can't talk to God, you can't pray, we won't read about God, but we're going to sexualize children and do these drag shows for elementary school students. This is immoral and it's evil. Fortunately, there's gentlemen like Phil King in Texas who are working to restore some basic sanity and morals to classrooms.
I like to hear this. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Tim Barton from wallbuilders.com, that's wallbuilders.com. And Tim, I know that you guys are out there. You have a pro-family legislative network. What's that all about, and what do you guys hope to accomplish there?
Yeah, this is something that one of the offshoots of what we do at Wall Builders with American History is trying to restore the foundation of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, those God-given rights the founding fathers talk so much about. And so we have a legislative network that we work with legislators all over the U.S. trying to do things to defend the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and even basic moral values like we're talking about today. And so this is something that we are actually working nearly in all 50 states to try to do things every year to preserve family values, traditional values, constitutional principles along the way. So it's just one of many outlets that we do at Wallbuilders to try to make a difference in the nation.
All right, very good. And again, the email or the website addresses profamily.com and wallbuilders.com. Tim, hope you and your family have a great Easter weekend.
Thanks so much, Todd. You too.
All right. There you go, folks. Tim Barton, good people over at Wall Builders. Again, wallbuilders.com and profamily.com. We have links to those websites over on our live show blog. You know, after the indictment, a big media spin is all against President Trump. It's insane. But one cable news channel leads the way in real news, and that's Newsmax. I watch it all the time. Now Newsmax has a brand new poll asking Americans if the Trump indictment is for a real crime or is it just politics. And they also want to know if you still support President Trump for president in 2024. Well, you can vote right now. Text the word SKIP to 39747. That's SKIP to 39747. Takes just a minute. And be sure to watch Newsmax with incredible hosts like Greta Van Susteren, Eric Bolling, and Rob Schmidt. Newsmax is on all major cable systems and streaming TVs. So again, vote right now. Text the word SKIP to 39747. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. You know, I almost forgot. We've got a trivia question. And by the way, tomorrow, Good Friday, we're going to have some fun tomorrow on the program. But we do have a trivia question, and we're going to open up the phone lines. You're going to get a copy of my latest book, co-written with Michelle Cox, called Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. So here's the question. There was a survey done by the National Confectioners Association, and they asked Americans, how do you eat your chocolate bunny? How do you eat your chocolate bunny? Is it ears first or feet first? So you got a 50-50 shot at getting this right. Is it ears first or feet first? 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, there's a great story up on ToddStarns.com. You got to check this out. Albany Public Library. White people are not allowed to apply for internships with the public library. As a matter of fact, the only people allowed to apply are black students. Hispanics, Asian Americans, whites, you are not allowed to participate. This is part of the Albany Public Library's Equity Fellowship. And they say the problem is there just are not enough black librarians. So they're only going to allow interns to be black. If you are white, you're just out of luck. So much for judging people based on the content of their character. So if you want to check this story out and you're at the library, go over to the Dewey Decimal System, and this is filed under flat out racist. There you go. All right. Let's go to Manny in North Carolina. Manny wants to weigh in on the trivia question. Hi, Manny. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Todd. I'm glad you're back on the radio.
Well, you're kind to say that. It feels good to be back on the radio. We're going to try to help you win a prize here. So the National Confectioners Association, they did a survey, and they asked Americans, all right, let's talk about the bunny. How do you eat your chocolate bunny? Is it ears first or feet first? What do you think most Americans said, Manny?
Well, I learned from my father, I learned from my mother, I learned from everybody else. I go ears first. My kids do the same thing. It may be wrong, but that's what we do.
All right, let's, yeah, you know what, that's right. Yeah, it's ears first. 78%, Manny, so 78% of Americans say they eat the bunny by the ears first. 17% go feet first, and 5% say they eat the butt of the bunny. They eat the bunny butt first. Those folks are all kinky. A little too kinky for my taste.
I can see that. During these times, yes, sir. I can see that.
I think that's the Portland, Oregon crowd. It's maybe Berkeley. All right, Manny, congratulations. Hang tight. We're gonna get your info, and we're going to send you a copy of our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl. By the way, this is a terrific present. I talk a lot about our books because I'm very proud of them, but our Daily Biscuit is one of my favorite, and it is a great Mother's Day gift. So if you have a mom, grandmom, if you have an aunt, you want to get them a copy of this book, and you can do that at your favorite bookstore, or I'm happy to sign, autograph a copy for you. You can get yourself one at toddstarnes.com. That's toddstarnes.com. Just go to the store tab, and all that info will be there. All right, let's go to the phones. Pat in North Carolina wants to talk about the Ten Commandments. Hi, Pat. What's your take on that?
Hey, well, you know, I grew up in North Carolina and went to school in Kentucky growing up, and we always had the Ten Commandments in our auditorium, five on one side and five on the other. We went in for assembly, did the Pledge of Allegiance, and they were always visible to us. I think it would be good to put them back in the schools because so many children are unchurched, and they don't even know the Ten Commandments. And they are rules that God gave Moses for us to live by. And they certainly should be available to all children so that they know. And that's my take on it.
Pat, you know, I grew up in the 70s, and I remember in our school we had the same thing. I think they were posted in the auditorium. We had 11 commandments. I wasn't sure about this, but the 11th was like, thou shalt be nice to your teacher. I don't know. I was a little suspect on that one, but but everything else added up.
Thank you for bringing these matters to the public's attention. I appreciate it, and I enjoy listening to you.
Well,
I met you over at the Sanitary in Moorhead.
The Sanitary Fish House. I miss that place.
Yeah, I know. I got one of your books. So anyway, and I'd love to have the biscuit book, but I do eat my bunnies by the ears first, too.
That's good to know.
I hate my bunnies. I'm soft, you know. I don't like to eat my bunnies.
I understand.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks.
Have a good day. I'm glad you're better.
You're kind bye-bye. To say that. Thank you, Pat. I'm not laughing at Pat. I'm laughing at Paul Shanklin, who just sent me a text message. He says, what part of the I can't do it. What part of the bunny did the transgender advocate bite off first? Paul, go stand in the corner. Wow. All right, Ten Commandments in the classrooms. You think that's a good idea? 844-747-8868. Now we're talking transgender bunny rabbits. I just can't today. Ronnie in North Carolina, WSIC, our great station there. Hi, Ronnie, what say you?
Hi, Mr. Starnes. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Glad to do it.
I just want to say that I think the Ten Commandments should definitely be in the classroom, and should our Constitution should hang right by it. But you know, we talk about taking our country back and changing. The only way we're going to do this is going to, we're going to have to be very, very patient, and we're going to have to start with kindergarten and work our way up just exactly the way they've taken it away from us. We're going to have to get back into schools and teach our kids what America is all about. If not, we'll never get the country back. We can say and do whatever we want, but if we don't get back into school and we don't catch them when they're young, it's gone.
Ronnie, give us a decade. Give us a decade in the classrooms, taking over the schools, and we can take back the country. We can fix all of this.
I think it'll take more than a decade, but we gotta work at it. We gotta be patient and just keep going. It took more than a decade to lose it.
Yeah,
everybody thinks it just happened in the last couple of years, but it's been leaving us for a long time.
Not paid attention. Going all the way back to the '60s.
Exactly. We've not paid attention, Mr. Storms. We gotta stand up and pay attention. If we don't, it will be gone, and it won't be here for our children.
Well said.
Anyway.
All right, Ronnie. Appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. I think we have some Jason Whitlock audio. Let's listen to a little bit of that from Tucker Carlson last night. He was talking about secession.
You know, finding common ground is impossible with people who think men can become women, who told us, hey, look, we just want two men to be able to get married, and there's no slippery slope. And that was a lie. And we've seen the slippery slope. Now it's drag queens reading books to kids. Now it's taking kids to drag queen shows. Now it's mutilating kids and infecting them with gender dysphoria and using it as an excuse to cut off their breast or cut off their penis. You can't have peace. You can't have partnership with these people. There are so many lies stacked on top of lies from the whole Black Lives Matter, George Floyd deal, and oh, the police are just out indiscriminately killing black men and so dangerous because of the police. That's all a lie and everybody knows it. We can't find common ground with people who have no respect for the truth, no respect for justice, no respect for fairness. We have to think about going our separate ways, and whether that's through secession or whether that's through some sort of national divorce, it has to be on the table, because you just can't find common ground with people this delusional who think that they're God and they can make up the rules.
There you go. That's Jason Whitlock on Tucker last night. By the way, you folks in North Carolina, we've been following the story of Tricia Cotham, the Democrat who has switched parties, giving the Republicans a veto-proof majority in the House. And it's fascinating. She is pretty much a leftist. I mean, she's pro-abortion, pro-LGBT rights. She's to the left of us on a lot of the issues. But she said that she got targeted by her own party because she flew the American flag and she prayed in the name of Jesus whenever she delivered a prayer at the state capitol. And that's why she decided to leave the party. She said she was bullied by her own party. And I'm not surprised by this. You know, back in 2012, I was at the DNC meeting in Charlotte. And that was the year the Democrats booed God. I think I wrote a book about this, Godless America. I think that was documented in this. And they actually voted to remove God from the party platform. Talking about the Democrats. By the way, after that happened, this is a true story. After that happened, there was a severe thunderstorm in Charlotte, North Carolina. I don't think that was a coincidence. All right, folks, it's been a great day, busy day. There's still rabble-rousing up in Nashville. We'll tell you more about that tomorrow. Good Friday coming up tomorrow, and it really is good. But I got to tell you, what happened on Sundays, even better. We'll see you tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen.
This week at Macy's, take an extra 20% off everything you need for holiday hosting with your coupon or Macy's card. That's on top of already great deals, like 60% off kids' dresses and dressy looks, 30 to 70% off gorgeous fine jewelry, and 40 to 50% off dining and entertaining essentials. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members can earn rewards even faster during Star Money Bonus Days, going on now at Macy's. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.